You have your Bibles with you. Will you turn to John chapter 14? I'm going to be reading from several portions of Scripture tonight to talk about something. Leave it to me to... Are you laughing at me, Miss Frieda? I'm glad to see you tonight. How are you doing? Leave it to me to ask this question. I'm sure. I hope you've asked it before, but if you haven't, we'll ask it together. How's that? What's it mean to pray in Jesus' name? About a year and a half ago, we had a kids' event here at the church. And I don't get riled about much because people say things that aren't that bright every day. I say things that aren't that bright every day. I mean, isn't that just the fact of life? And so it's not much that I get kind of beside myself and irritated and frustrated about. I can remember being that way in church about three or four times within the last 15 or 20 years, where I was so angry at either what was being said or done that I wanted to leave or I wanted to interrupt because I couldn't handle it. And this was one of those times. The problem was, my wisdom tells me that if you're not mine, I can't correct you. If I don't have any influence in your life and I try to explain to you why I believe you're off, or if I try to go down the path of the error of your ways and you can't hear me, it doesn't do any good. So my theology and my personal opinion is smarter to keep your mouth shut and let God deal with it in another place. So we were having a children's event about a year and a half ago, and someone not in this church had invited somebody else to come in to minister to the kids, and they had a microphone, and they were ministering to kids. And I know you're going to think it's a little thing, but I told you, it's sometimes the small things that aggravate me, and it takes a lot to aggravate me. But this was one of those times, and the individual was doing magic tricks, which I don't have a problem with. I don't, for the most part, because they're fake, and everybody knows that they're fake. Well, kids don't, but you know, most everybody with third grade education knows that they're fake. And I'm sorry. My wife and Takiya have just been mortified to learn that magic isn't real. And so he was doing some magic tricks, and as one of the magic tricks, I can't even remember what they were doing, but they were trying to open something or trying to make something that a regular magician would do as part of their magic act, but it wasn't happening correctly. So they were using it as a teachable moment for the kids to teach the kids, this is why we pray in Jesus' name. So whenever they wanted to do their magic trick and have their magic trick work, they would have the kids scream out, "In Jesus' name!" And then it would work. And I literally was climbing the walls inside because that is so far in my mind away from teaching children the reality of what Christ did. It's dumbing down the sacrifice of Christ to the point of using his name as abracadabra. And that really bothered me. So you'll overlook me, right? If I told you that and it doesn't bother you, just say an extra prayer for me today, okay? But again, the person didn't attend here and they weren't mine. I didn't have a relationship with them, so I didn't feel like I had any ability to speak into their life. So I just left them go on and say, Lord, I hope that their pastor can deal with that. But needless to say, if anybody in our children's ministry ever decided to teach our children something along those lines, we'll stop that right now. But it got me to thinking. Sunday morning, Brother Anthony, the songs that he brought and that he made a list of included a lot of mentions and dealing with the name of Jesus. And Pastor taught on the concept of taking our rightful place in the earth and who we are and not giving that up and not allowing that to simply go away. And so how does what we have been tasked to do as Christians fit into that? And one of the things that we have been tasked to do is to pray through Christ. If you were to hear someone sneeze, the good manners your mother taught you is you respond, God bless you, right? Or bless you. But do you even realize when you say that, when it comes out of your mouth, that you are offering a blessing over that person's life? There are a lot of other things that we do and say throughout our day, throughout our life, that just become habit, and we just do them without thinking. How many times would you say that you end your prayer in Jesus' name just because that's what you were taught to do? Well, what am I supposed to say? Sincerely yours? How do I end it? How do I end my prayer? That's what I've always been taught to do. No, that's correct. But if we're just doing it because that's what we've been taught to do, then we're missing the reason for it. And again, I don't mean to pick something apart and make it academic. Rather, I want us to take something that we have made trite and old and allow it to be revived in our spirit, because we understand that the reason behind it, the purpose for it, the methodology that God intended was something to bring life, because He is the life bringer, not the punctuation for our prayer, not the closing argument. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Again, I would have to say, as I began to think about this and it began to ruminate in my spirit, I have thought over the last 40 plus years, I've always been taught to pray in Jesus' name because that's what mom and dad did, that's what grandma did, that's what everybody at church did, that's what we were taught to do. But again, what does it mean? What's the purpose behind it? First of all, if you don't mind, let's turn to John chapter 14, book of John chapter 14, and let's read some things that Jesus said to us. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Why do we end our prayers that way? Why do we punctuate our petitions to God in Jesus' name? I remember I heard one old preacher say that God can't hear it until He hears that part, and then suddenly He tunes His ear into your prayer. What does it mean? Again, I believe personally, and you can take issue with me. But I believe personally that the things we do, we don't do because God needs us to do them. The things that we have been instructed to do, we do so that we understand who we are, what we're doing, so that we can be refocused on who He is and what He is about. The things He doesn't have to know, I'm praying in Jesus' name. I have to know that I'm praying in Jesus' name, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look here, John chapter 14. I want to start at verse 1. Jesus has just told the disciples, first of all, He's just told Judas that He's going to betray Him. He's just told Peter that He is going to betray Him before the rooster crows three times. And so He's told them He's going to leave. He's packing up, getting ready to go. And so they're frustrated. They're irritated. They don't understand. They don't know exactly what He's talking about. They're, like most men, a little clueless. And all the women said, amen. You missed your opportunity. John chapter 14. I know my wife thought it, even if she was too kind to say it. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I not have told you that I were going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and you have seen Him. Okay? Philip answered, verse number 8, and said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Apparently, he can't understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the word of the works that you have seen me do themselves. Very, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Verse number 14 is where I want to stop for a minute. So here, Jesus, as an example to the disciples, begins the pattern for us. Now, we know His pattern that He gave to them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice He said again, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Every part of the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pattern their prayers after always pointed back to the Father. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Lead me not into temptation. Well, how can God lead me if I'm not following Him? I'll let you think about that for just a minute. If I am not purposefully following Him, if I am not purposefully laying down my own agenda to get on His agenda, to focus on what He is calling me to do, how can I be sure to be kept out of the path of temptation? Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I don't understand how I slipped. I don't understand how I fell. I don't understand. Well, my question is, how often were you doing your thing? Just a question. And I can ask that question. You know how I can ask that question? Because I'm breathing. And if I'm breathing, guess what? That means I got my own will too. I'm not holier than you. I'm not better than you. In fact, some of you, I think, are probably much better than me. All right? I'm talking about you, Miss Grace, Miss Rachel. Thank you. And, of course, my wife. So here he is, and he's saying that I've already taught you the pattern of the prayer, but in addition to that, what I'm suggesting that you do is that when you come to the Father and you ask for something, that you drop my name. How many of you have ever been around somebody who likes to drop names? Oh, I know so-and-so, and I've been with so-and-so, and I talked to so-and-so. When the road crew was here with Carmen, that was the first thing that they wanted to talk to us about, who they had worked with, who they had met. And I'm just like, Brother Pete, were you not just floored? Just like, I was. I was like, wow, these guys have worked with some of the greatest, but they were name-dropping quick. You understand what I'm saying? Name dropping. And so we're used to that in our culture, in our society, especially the glitzy star society that we have. But in reality, Jesus was offering not as much a name drop as he was offering an avenue through which to recenter and refocus. Whatever you ask in my name. See, we have been disserved. If I may be completely honest, and I know sometimes I feel like that there's some negativity in some of the things I say, and I don't mean for that to be, because I believe that the light brings freedom. And so that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is shed some light onto some stinking thinking that we have, not to be negative about some of the things that we've believed. Is that okay? Do you understand the difference? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to enlighten myself, if that's all right, through the scripture. But what I believe is that sometimes we have been offered a disservice, that we have been taught, whatever you ask in my name, and that's it. Just stop there. That we have actually, in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, been offered an abracadabra card. Thank you, Pastor. Just exactly what that gentleman who was trying to teach the kids in the best way he knew how was offering them an understanding of how we pray in Jesus' name. And so whenever he was lost and unable to do the magic trick that he needed, he just asked the kids, come on, kids, help me out. In Jesus' name. And then the trick worked. And so we get frustrated and irritated when we're down and sad and lonely and everything's going wrong. And so we begin to cry out, well, I got this. I got this right here. I done heard it at church on Sunday. I hear it every time I turn TBN on. All I got to do is say, mama, 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 this is what I want. Whoa, 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 hallelujah, okay, in Jesus' name. Nothing changed. You sorry sapsucker. You sold me a bill of goods. And we get frustrated. And we get irritated. And we don't understand. We don't understand why nothing seems to be changing. When Pastor even has been teaching us that you are called to occupy and to own and to take over where you are. I believe that with all my heart. I would not be here if I did not believe that with all my heart. I am not here to sit and shrink and just pray, Lord, come quickly. Even though I pray that, Lord, come quickly, I'm still here to do everything within my ability and power to overcome where I am. Because he didn't say, I'm coming back for a weak, hidden church. He said, I'm coming back for a church without spot or without wrinkle. I'm coming back for a triumph and glorious church. How glorious are we when we get mad because Jesus won't come through? I said in Jesus' name. Abracadabra. So I'm asking you, if in your prayers you could simply replace in Jesus' name with abracadabra, maybe we need to change some things. He says, I am the way. One. I am the truth. One. I am the life. One. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. He says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Do you mind if we go on just a little bit? How about if we look at 1 John chapter 5? Is it okay if we get the full counsel? Now, most theologians believe that the Apostle John wrote the book of John, and also wrote three little books called 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They believe it's written by the same author, or it's pretty well established that the same person wrote these. It's their belief. So I'm going to go on the fact that the person who wrote what we read just a moment ago also wrote this. The problem is, or the thought that I want to share with you is, a younger man wrote what we just read. Someone with a little more seasoning wrote this. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. Someone with a little more seasoning sometimes has a little more knowledge and information. 1 John chapter 5, I want to start with verse 13. Just read three verses. Verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Confidence. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything. Now, will you just skip the next few words? He hears us. Yeah. You're looking at me like, why did you skip that? I know I did it on purpose. Okay, well, let's go back. If we ask anything according to his will. Oh, man. Why? Why'd you have to do that? Why? Why did you have to do that? I don't understand. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So the word of God here, the same author, the same man, years later, says, ask whatever you ask. But let me tell you something that I've learned over these years. I have learned that in Jesus' name is not a get out of jail free card. It is not a magic potion. It is not something that should be spoken as you wave your magic wand. Instead, what I've heard and what I've come to understand is that as I pray, your will come, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will come in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, you hear me. So, as he says, I've learned that over the last few years, what I have experienced is that when Jesus was talking to me, when he was talking to the 12 of us, and he looked us in the face and said, whatever you ask, it shall be done. He wasn't saying, ask something just off the cuff and ask, you know, he says, ask something that is in line with my will for your life. Ask something that's in line with what I have for you. Ask the thing that I want to give you. Ask that I will come and that you will line yourself up with me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The longer I live, the more I understand that relationship is more about an understanding than it is about goosebumps. Relationship that we have is more about an understanding, a common respect, a common knowledge, getting to know each other, than it is about ooh, I feel so good when I see you. I get the butterflies inside. And I'm happy that all that is still there. Don't get me wrong. But do you understand what I'm talking about? Relationship is, I know that you're there in the good times and the bad, and that you ain't left my sorry self way back when. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Relationship is something that is more powerful than the feelings that we have. And yet, what do we expand on in the church? You lost that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. You know what I'm talking about. And Jesus says, I didn't lose that love and feeling. Just off in left field. Who told you to be over there? I haven't been in that. Well, I waved my magic wand. I said in Jesus' name. I named it and claimed it until I could blab it and grab it some more. And again, I'm not trying to be ugly. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are truths in these principles. Absolutely. Truths in these principles without question. But what good is amassing things? What good is seeking after certain things if I'm not seeking after the author and the finisher of my faith? What good, what importance is it to amass these ideals and these thoughts if at the end of it all I lose my own soul? It makes no sense. Why did he give us these things in the first place? So are you tracking with me? Do you understand? He says, it's with confidence that we approach God. Jesus came to give me confidence to approach God, that when I ask according to his will, he will hear me. When I ask according to his will, according to his promises, according to what he has said for me. So when we're talking about the concept of taking over and taking control and taking claim of where I am and dominating my own personal world and overcoming the darkness that is inside of me and overcoming the darkness that threatens my family, when I'm talking about those things, when I begin to cry out to God, do you understand what I'm saying? Then I begin to lay all of those things on the altar and begin to cry out. And when I cry out, it's not that I'm begging God to remove certain things from me, but I'm asking him for guidance. I'm asking him to line me up in his way. So whatever comes, I can face it. I can handle it. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 3? Just have a couple more scriptures that I want to talk about. What does it mean when we pray in Jesus' name? What are we doing? Why are we praying in Jesus' name? Ephesians chapter 3, I want to start with verse number 10. This is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. And he's talking about the fact that, remember, he's talking to predominantly Jews, and he's sharing with them that the reason why Christ came was to bring his gospel, to come as the Messiah to the earth. And because the Jews, for the most part, would not receive him as a people, as a whole, he said, I am making you my disciples to take my word to the Gentiles. That's what this whole section of Ephesians is about. And so he is now laying out for them that the mystery of Christ, the reason why Christ was hidden, The reason why Christ came was to be the propitiation for our sin, to be the atonement for our sin, and that He is to make intercession not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And again, it was a thought provoker for them because they thought, they're not God's chosen people. So verse number 10 says, His intent, talking about God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Who are the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms? Well, if God is making something known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, then it's obviously not Him, because He doesn't keep secrets from Himself. And we've read in other parts of the Scripture that He has given authority to the rulers of the heavenlies over to His enemy, our enemy, the enemy of our soul. So He is saying that through the sacrifice of Christ, God is actually trumpeting or announcing His plan for mankind to all the world, including Satan. Verse number 11 says, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. His eternal purpose was that all would come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Christ. Verse number 12, in Him and through faith in Him, we may then approach God with freedom and confidence. Again, He's talking to the Jews where they could not even say the name of God because it was too sacred. And now He's saying that through the sacrifice of Christ, God has actually opened up, let out a war cry to anybody who wants to hear, anybody who wants to defy Him, and says, hey, looky here what I did. You see that sacrifice right there? That's your death sentence. You see that right there? Do you see what my Son did? My Son, in what He did, in His sacrifice right there, what He did allows anyone entrance to Me directly. That's what He was saying. Okay, does that make sense? Does that make sense? He accomplished that through Jesus Christ. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Verse number 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of My sufferings for you, which are your glory. I wanted to put that verse, I wanted to include that so we could see that. So God is here after the sacrifice of Christ, after we see His Son die upon the cross, which was His plan that He kept hidden from all of the rulers of the heavenlies. He kept that a secret. He kept that His own pocket, close to the vest. He kept that away from them. He now broadcasts to everybody, by the way, I just want you to know that your days are numbered. Your time is limited. Your ability to mess with My people is coming to an end, because now they have a direct route. We used to talk about that telephone number. Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. You know what I'm talking about. So he says, I just want you to understand. You can try whatever you want to try, but because of what My Son did, because of the blood that He shed, because of the cross of Calvary, now His people have a direct line to Me. They don't have to worry about having to go through the heavenlies. They just come through Me, and the blood covers it all. It's over. It's done. They don't have to sacrifice. They don't have to go, and they don't have to wail at the wall. They don't have to do anything like that anymore, because I took care of it. I covered it. And all they have to do is cry out, Jesus! And I hear them. And because they have chosen to call upon the name that is the highest name, no name has been given under heaven whereby a man can be saved, Isn't that what he says? Because they call on that name and because they declare boldly. Doesn't he say that? That now we can come boldly before the throne of grace. He says now they can walk boldly into my presence and they can declare right there because of him, because of what he did, because of his sacrifice. Now I am made worthy, not by anything I did, not because I'm wonderful, not because I'm great, but because of what he did. Now I stand here in front of you directly and I don't have to grovel, I don't have to beg, I don't have to plead for my life because his blood covers me. Ooh. Did you understand that? That when we cry out and we pray in Jesus' name, that we are calling upon the very drops of blood that were shed on Calvary, that seeped into the cross, that fell onto the ground, that fell into that soil, that took root there. We're calling upon those drops of blood. We're calling upon the sacrifice that he did. And we're saying, no longer do I have to mourn and do I have to question whether or not you will hear me. But because of what he did, it's not some silly mantra. It's not abracadabra. It's not, well, God bless my mess. Instead, it is to refocus our minds and our hearts that when I pray boldly. That when I pray knowing that he is able to hear me. I pray knowing that he is not only able, but he desires to hear me. That he wants to hear what I've got to say. That he wants to hear my petition. And even more importantly, that he wants to do it. But we have brought it down to such a place that we make it of none effect. That we make it worthless because we say in Jesus' name. No, that's not what he said. He said, when you do it, remember. Oh my God, do you hear me? Do you understand? There is power in what he did for us. Ooh. About verse number 13 goes along with what I preached last month and really goes along with what Pastor is preaching this month and foreseeable future. Verse number 13, again, Paul says, I ask you, therefore, think about it now. Think about it. Their Bible teacher, their great man of faith and power, is not driving a Bentley. Ooh. We can't have him at our church because he's not a show of success. We must have those that are successful only. He's not a show. No. He's not driving some swanky car. He's not living in some mansion. He's not worth $500 million like some of our preachers are. You laugh. I'm serious. Instead, he's begging people to come visit him in jail. He's sitting in jail. Just wanting somebody to come visit him, to say hi. Just wanting somebody to keep him company. Wanting somebody to send him some paper he can write on. Wanting somebody to come and write for him because his eyes are failing him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not exactly the picture of the overcoming man of faith and power. And here he is teaching them that whatever you ask, it shall be done. Well, come on. If he were alive in 2016, we would have a council of great preachers in the world go and meet with him and say, listen, either you're going to have to be quiet or we're going to have to agree for your release. Because we can't have you representing us in here like this. Because you bad name for the brand. You're not doing anything for our brand, for our good. You're not exactly our kind of material. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then we don't understand why people come in the church and come out of the church frustrated. We don't understand why they come in and bring their problems and lay them on the cross and they give it 3 weeks and they don't understand why it's not all fixed, because we have our smiles on our face and we tell them everything's going to be all right. Just do it in Jesus' name. When in reality, I want you to look at the man who's telling them that you have all access to God through Jesus Christ, and you should come boldly to His throne, is laying in jail. I guess. And then He says, but don't even get worried. Don't get discouraged because of my sufferings. Don't get down. That's what I love about this man. This man turned the world upside down through the power of Christ. Because his attitude, because of what happened to him, because of who he was and who he became, something on the inside of him changed. Something happened to him. And he said, whatever place I find myself, in whatever circumstance I find myself, I count it all joy. I decide that wherever I am, wherever I am having to be, whether I am confined there or whether I'm there because I choose to be, I know that I am in God's will. I know that I am His bondservant. I know that I belong to Him, and I pray that He takes care of it. That's what he said. He said, I prayed that this thorn in my flesh would be taken, but behold, it is not taken. It is still here. So apparently, there are some things that are going to stay with us. So I just want to get that settled in my spirit, if that's okay with you. You all can be in denial. That's all right. I don't have a problem with that. And I'll believe with you. I don't have a problem with that either. But what I'm trying to say is that there are some things in our life that we are meant to overcome. You can't overcome it if He takes you out of it. You can't overcome it if He just waves His magic wand in Jesus' name, abracadabra. That's not the way it works. But He says, behold, I have made you a strong people. Behold, I have made you a people of righteousness. I have made you overcomers, because greater, that's what He said, is He, the Spirit that is in you, than the Spirit that is in the world. He said, I've given you more than they ever thought that they needed, ever thought that they could have. I've given you enough to overcome. Now, why don't you walk it out a little bit? We don't want to walk it out. Give me a Tylenol, please. Do you understand what I'm saying? I got Tylenol in my house. I'm not telling you anything different. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to convey is the idea that I'm not disappointed in God because of where I am. I'm not frustrated. There are times when I get frustrated, but you know what? Just a little talk with Jesus makes it fine. Do you understand what I mean? And that's where we must come back to. The understanding and the idea that our fast food mentality that we carry in from our society has no place or no business being in the church. We must allow it to go. Because again, he says, I never put more on you than you could bear. Oh, I don't want to hear that right now. Well, you know what? I need to hear that right now. Is that okay? Some of you need to hear that right now. Some of you need to put that on your forehead and stamp it in reverse so that when you look in the mirror, it's right there for you. He said he'd never put more on us than we could bear. He said, I will be with you always, even through the end. I'll be a brother that sticks closer to you than any other. I will be there. Yes, I will. You got a friend. You understand what I'm saying? Even Paul, writing here, God's man of faith and power, says, don't be discouraged because I'm trying to teach you the biblical principles, because I'm trying to tell you that you're more than an overcomer. Don't be discouraged because of where you see me. Instead, be encouraged. Last one, Hebrews chapter 4. Last one. When we get something to eat, we bow our heads. We bless our food in Jesus' name. We're talking about many times a day, over and over and over in everything we do. I'm saying these words out of my mouth. Multiply that by 44 years. 365, 366 days in leap year. How many times have I said that? How many times have I used in Jesus' name? And yet, there's something powerful in it that if I can only grasp. Last thing I wanted to share with you, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 14. Just for a moment. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. I've already quoted this, but again, let's look at it. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. King James says, boldly go. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hear that? When we pray, we approach God's throne. So as we pray again, when we're praying, our prayer is that we are actually approaching the throne of God. So will you get this in your head for just a moment? And some of you don't need to, but I'm some of you who do, I do. So just picture this with me for a moment. So when we pray, we are actually entering into the throne room of God. We are standing, kneeling, sitting at God's feet. We are looking at Him just like we would Abba Father, just like we would Daddy. And we're saying to Him, Daddy, I've got some stuff going on. I got some issues happening. I got some things that I just can't seem to work through on my own. And I'll be honest, it's not always easy for me to come to you and to ask, because there are moments where I feel like I should be old enough to handle this myself. Anybody ever felt that way? I feel like I've come to you about this for the last few years, and it seems like I just keep coming back to you, and I sound like a broken record. You're probably tired of hearing me over this same thing. I try to do what's right. I try to act the way that I'm supposed to. I try to do what I think I'm supposed to do, but for some reason it doesn't always seem to go right. But I'm asking you again. I'm coming before you again because of what your Son did, not to remind you, but to remind me that I am not in this alone. I don't have to do it all myself. I don't have to handle the weight of the world on my own. I don't have to. But instead, I come to you and offer it to you, and I ask you, would you please find some way to deal with this situation? Will you help me? And will you help even more than that? Will you help my life line up with your will for my life? Will you allow me to come into the right path that I'm supposed to be on? Again, this is what we're saying when we're praying in Jesus' name. Do you hear me? We're not praying just in Jesus' name, but we're actually saying, God, allow my life to line up with yours based upon the sacrifice of the cross. God, help me to bring myself into alignment with who you are. And I ask all these things not because I am worthy of any of it, not because I deserve it, not because I did something that makes me able to receive it, but instead I come to you in humility, in all sincerity, knowing that it is only through the power of the cross of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? There's something about that. When you begin to pray in that manner, when you begin to understand that when I say in Jesus' name, I am actually pivoting my entire life back to the cross and saying, Lord Jesus, I need your help. It's not a magical formula. It's not a mantra for success. It's not something that we just tack on to the end of prayer because we need an ending or a good closing. It's not something because that's what gets God's attention. It's not for God. The phrase "in Jesus' name" is to be a reminder of what He did for us. Why are you asking? Because I have a need. Yes. But you're asking because someone made a way for you when there seemed to be no way. Oh my goodness. How many times do we forget that? Instead, we come in with a greed that's in our heart and we say, I want this. I'm coming boldly because that's what His Word says. When in reality, He says, but don't you understand that it is through my sacrifice of my life that allows you access? Ooh. Oh my God. How beautiful that is. How powerful that is. In Jesus' name. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, because that's what we've always been taught. We pray in Jesus' name because it re-centers our focus on Jesus. There is no other reason. There's no other purpose. There's no other foundation on which we stand except Jesus. Period. So when we are praying, I hope that this week as you pray and you begin to allow these things back into your life, and some of you, some me, for instance, all of us, we'll probably go through and do some of our routines and our rituals the same way we do, but I pray that God will bring back to your memory, bring back to your mind, that when we say in Jesus' name, it's more than just the closing. It's more than just how we ended. It's more than just because that's what we've been taught. It's because it's what He did for us. It's what He caused in our lives. It's what He made the provision for. And again, it's not a get-rich scheme. Because when we pray in Jesus' name, we are actually refocusing ourselves and bringing ourselves back to the cross and what He did and bringing our will into line with His will. So when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm not going to get always what I ask. I'm going to get what He wants for me. Your will be done in earth, in my earth, as it is in heaven. Father, I pray tonight that You'll quicken Your Holy Spirit to us, that You'll quicken Your Word to us, that You'll quicken Your thoughts to us this week, even tonight, throughout the rest of this week, and continuing, Father, that You will help us to refocus and understand that when we cry out in Jesus' name, that we are offering more, that we are offering our lives back to You, that we are offering ourselves to Your service, to Your will, that we are declaring that we want You to be in charge of our lives, because it is through Your sacrifice that we live. It is not that we declare that there are certain things in our life that come to us because we deserve them, but we remember the cross. We deserved hell. We deserved death. But instead, You gave us life. And You said, not only do I give you life, but I give you life more abundantly. I give you more than you ever dreamed of. And so, God, we stand on that faith, knowing that You cared more for us than we even care for ourselves. And so, we do not take Your name lightly. We do not take Your phrase lightly, that when we pray through the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. But God, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to You. May You find what we offer You to be pleasing. And what is not pleasing, let it be burned up on Your altar. Because we are Yours to do with as You see fit, knowing that You will provide the strength and the ability, the stamina, the courage, the bravery to do what we have to do to triumph through you. Because you are our victory. I felt that.